Welcome to the Friday edition of the French Connection. Today's date is the 15th of February, 2008. My name is Daryl Bradford Smith. Of course, it's great to have you listeners here with me today for this most important broadcast. This is a rant today. As you'll notice, when we don't do three-way international calls all over the globe, we usually get a better connection. One of the problems we've been having, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to give you a little heads up on it, is that we're doing just a regular type of connection here between someone else's house in another place, that being Sweden from France, and then usually we go to another place from there. And the quality has always had problems. It has something to do with our use of sometimes Skype, and other times we can't get a three-way call going on our phone line. So we try to fix it, we get one other thing going, and then that seems to have problems. But anyway, I apologize for the lack of quality in the broadcast. I know that Mohammed Rafik's line was very bad last time. One of the problems he's got is that he's got a private phone company over in Britain that is not the best one to be calling up. So one thing leads to another, and that's I apologize for you having to struggle through listening to some of these poor quality audios. But that being said, bad stuff is coming in the monetization of our debt. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples of what monetization is of a debt condition. It's when a large controller or purchaser is able to go in and buy everything to hold up or prop up the present condition or status of a currency or a business or whatever. Now, what we've got here is the Federal Reserve is going to be forced soon because of the problems that are popping up everywhere, and many of them are coming from this insurance debacle that is now taking shape. And some of the other is going to be pressured by legal action against some of these blown-up derivatives and bond positions and futures positions that have not been correctly treated in the marketplace. In other words, they've been rolled over in some cases, or they've just been ignored, or they haven't been paid, or whatever. Now, in each one of these instances, ladies and gentlemen, that creates a legal problem. That is the reason why none of these things are going to be able to be dealt with unless there's some sort of state of an emergency declared by the American government. Then they can start manipulating money and do it with the color of law. But the problem is so grave at the moment that the Federal Reserve is starting to go out into the marketplace and do more than just buy the stock market, which they've done for a long time with their plunge protection team, which is monetization of debt, basically. When they prop up a stock market that should not be flying as high as it is to disguise or to control or to dupe investors or to vault the value of the dollar or to implode the value of another currency in relation to the dollar, or whatever they're doing in manipulation. This is a monetization of a financial system. And if you take that to its extreme, when they start going out into the market and buying the CBOT, the Chicago Board of Trade's activities, or they go out and buy a derivative debt to hold up a certain institution, or they buy stocks in, let's say, Citibank to hold it above water, and these direct purchases are actually debt-based, and they're actually absorbing the finances of these problemed transactions. Now, that's not a perfect description of the monetization process, but it does give you an idea of the challenges that the economy is now facing. And there's just no that cannot feed into massive inflation. Now, whether it will be the igniting of a Weimar type of money implosion. In other words, money in the Weimar Republic, ladies and gentlemen, went from, you know, a 50 mark, Deutschmark trading level all the way up to a million in a few weeks, and then a few weeks after that it was up to a billion, and then it actually leveled off at trillions, and they were printing money on one side. It was getting so out of control, and it got so out of control until the entire thing just failed. We're not at that level, but we are at a level where double-digit inflation is already in the system, and that could actually accelerate to where we have a downgrading of the American dollar to the tune of 50% against other currencies. Now, you have to remember that other currencies are also debasing their value. The euro is running a very hot right now. They're putting in a lot of liquidity into the eurozone, and that is causing feed-in inflation to the eurozone. So even with other currencies adding their money to their systems or juicing up their economy's money supply, which causes a direct result of that not long after it happens is inflation. The dollar is still tanking against those currencies because the Americans are doing it even tenfold over them. And that's why you've seen a serious appreciation of the renminbi, which is the yuan, which is the Chinese currency, which is not a freely traded currency, but it is used in international transactions. And so the result of that is that has actually been juiced a little bit with value. Now, other things that are happening. You're seeing that money is being repatriated to the United States because it's being rejected as a transaction tool outside the country. And when the money is not used in the same vein that it had been in prior transactions, and it's no longer and it's being back converted back into another currency, that money gets repatriated to the United States. Now, that repatriation looks on the surface like in the reports like there's foreign investment into America, or that there's direct foreign cash flow into the United States, which will give you the wrong idea about the state of the economy. And, you know, other things that are actually going on right now as well. I mean, I talked to some financial people in Canada yesterday, and the man was lost about what's happening. I talked to him directly. I made a couple of inquiries about what he knew was happening. I mean, this was something that had nothing to do with me knowing him as an information source. It was just some guy that I know was working at a major trading bank. Now, he said, yeah, I've heard, you know, there's some pressure. Of course, everyone knows that. But I said, do you know how serious it is? And when I explained it to him, he claimed he didn't know. And there sounded like there was a level of sincerity to his voice. Now, I'm wondering if the rank-and-file people in the finance system are that duped. You know, I can't tell you with any kind of accuracy the date, time, or exact level of, you know, problem we're going to face. You know, I can't say, well, next week at this time or whatever. I do know there's a crisis of confidence. I do know that the derivative market and the futures markets and many of these transactions that we've been discussing with Mohammed Rafiq over the last few months are seriously problematic for these financial institutions. I also know many of the member or participant banks that had been involved in these transactions can't pay up. I know that. I know that there are lawsuits being filed. So when you try to add it all up and try to, you know, strike out with a guess here, well, I don't know. But it's serious. And I think it's financial system threatening. Not only do I think it is, I know it is. And in America, because 7 out of 10, well, it used to be 7 out of 10, it's more like 6 out of 10 now, I think, closer to. 6 out of 10 dollars spent into the economy come from private people. I think it's more like 6 now because the government has been trying to pick up the slack where the public has left off by pumping up a huge budget. You can see that by the $3 trillion budget this imbecile Bush just proposed for the future. That is the government picking up the spending for the Ponzi scheme to continue at some level. Doesn't look good. Now, at the same time, gold prices have actually fallen. That tells me that we've got serious manipulation, a la GATA, if you G-A-T-A, which is the Bill Murphy website, go over there, and it's the, these guys that have been studying market manipulation of gold for several years now, and actually have filed suits, have on the record officials talking about how the plunge protection team and other entities within the financial structure have been manipulating gold for some time. Why gold? Why manipulate gold? Well, the fact is gold has always been tied to money in value relationships, in analysis relationships, and as a result of that relationship, people have always looked to it to see what kind of actual feed-in inflation is coming or what kind of problems people are perceiving. And if gold goes crazy from 900 to 1,000 or from 1,000 to 1,200, like many people believe is its short-term goal, and we're talking 2 to 3 months now, short-term, this would tell people to panic. And that would take the $6 out of $10 that are spent into the American economy down to somewhere around $3 or $4, which would cause an enormous contraction in buying for businesses. In other words, there would be no more white goods sales. There would no be hard goods sales. There would be no more luxury sales for the middle class. It would be tighten the belt, save your money, pay down your bills, and don't do anything but stay home and cower from the next possible mess. And that would in itself cause the implosion that everybody is believing is on its way. So I can't remember a time in my over half century on the planet here ever seeing anything near this, not even close. Nothing has even matched this in the gravity ever. And I don't know that there's ever been a global threat to the financial system like this in history, because we've never had a system where globalization was the norm. We did have serious problems in the 30s as a result of this Weimar implosion and loans that went into the Weimar Republic from America, and then they weren't paid back, and then there was a run on certain assets classes in America, and then we had an implosion of certain stocks in 29, and what happened is a knock-on effect in the world. And many of the Western countries in the world started having serious problems, and they extended 7 to 10 years in many parts of the world. However, economies in Africa, South America, and the Orient were marginally affected because we had still had serious agrarian societies there where people, it didn't affect their chickens laying eggs. It didn't stop them from picking fruit off the trees. But since we've industrialized, since we've turned Indonesia into a producer, since we've turned Malaysia, Jakarta into a producer, since we've mechanized Vietnam after the war, since we've turned India and China into these business models that are Western-based, they are no longer immune from these shocks, and now they're going to participate in a 1929 type of problem. And this will be truly the first worldwide problem ever faced. Now, we've talked about the people who've done this, who's in charge of these financial systems, who invented these whacked-out derivative instruments, which in the early 1990s, ladies and gentlemen, only had $100 billion worth of transactions, and now we're talking about $600 trillion with a T. That's $6,000 billion. I mean, or even more. I don't even know anymore. I mean, it's getting so crazy. I can't even figure out these numbers. I mean, how many zeros come after that? Who knows? I mean, I'm a guy that's spent a lot of time dealing with numbers, and that one's just out of my ability to even wrap my brain around it. It's nonsense. It is all a nonsense. Yeah, it's all a nonsense. Now, what else is we have happening here? Of course, they're frightened, and you'll notice they're attempting to blame people who are pointing out the Zionist crime network that we've all been suffering through here in Europe are anti-Jewish, which I've had hundreds of times on this program, if not thousands, clearly stated, I'm not anti-Jewish, I'm anti-Zionist Jew. not anti-Jewish, anti-Zionist Jew. That would be like not being anti-Italian, but being anti-La Cosa Nostra. Same relationship. Not similar, same. Same kind of thing. Where Zionism is a political and socio-economic conspiracy, and it is the people who participate in it from the Jewish community who are at fault in all of the problems we face in the world and have been for over a century. But it doesn't make every Jew in the rank and file out there guilty of complicity. However, as the world begins to wake up to these crimes, and as these same people within the community of the Jewish community start understanding that they've been given favoritism in their job markets, in their university acceptance, in their Hollywood roles, you know, the 9 out of 10 leading men in Hollywood today, whether it be comedic actors or serious actors or whatever, are Jewish. Now, they're 2% of our population, and they're sitting at 60 or 70% of the Hollywood people. This is evident and obvious to anybody who looks at it, including the people from the Jewish community themselves. Now, can you be exonerated from the responsibility of not having known? Well, it's getting harder for you to make that claim if you're from the Jewish community, that you didn't know Harvard University, 30% of the Ivy League now is Jewish. 30%, some people have been writing about here. They didn't know that? Well, you know, 2% of the population, 30% of the Ivy League. And, you know, my experience during my tenure, my time at New York University, was that the Jewish students that we had at the school, which NYU is one of the best schools in the country when I was there, and still is, if you want to think that their education system is very good, and I think it's deficient in almost every way, but based upon acceptance levels and workload and the rest of it, the people I competed up against there were some Jews involved, but they weren't the best students. There were Indian students better. There were some Chinese students much better. There were non-Jewish students that were at least as good or better. So there was no 30% increase in the Ivy League's acceptance of Jews, but then you take a look at all the presidents of these schools and all the department heads, and the Zionist element in America has installed all these people into these programs, and then of course they reach down into their acceptance programs and let through nepotism and through other nepotistic type decision-making processes bring in Jewish students. And then of course they're lied to throughout the process, saying that They're victims, and that everyone hates you, and that we need to pull together as Jews. You need to donate to the Anti-Defamation League and support Foxman and ignore the fact that 9 out of 10 spy scandals involve Israel, and you got to blindly follow the Israeli decision-making process regardless. And of course, they're browbeat in some instances, they're bribed in others, they're lied to in most, and then by the end of it all, these people go along to get along, as many people do in this world, most people do in this world. But as I stated just a few statements ago, it's getting harder for them to claim that they didn't know that their community was doing these things. They're doing it in France as well, ladies and gentlemen. And anybody who lives here in France and listens to the French Connection knows it. Clearly, it's been done in Germany. It's been done in Britain, of course. Spain as well, and so to Italy, Portugal. Of course, in Switzerland, terrible. Austria as well. This is a Western worldwide phenomenon, especially jobs of the media, finance, and business. You know, the Bezos, Jeff Bezoses of the world, and the Mark Cubans of the world, who are next generation Zionist Jews who are running the biggest companies. You know, Larry Ellisons of the world, and come on, ladies and gentlemen, almost every major corporation in the United States is Jewish run or owned. That's not a coincidence. And the Jews in the world who are watching this and witnessing this, They can write it off as we're better than you if that's what you've been fed as a supremacist kind of thing, But if they're honest and human about their observations, they're going to have to come to the conclusions that we have, that their community or people from within their community, the religious community that they herald from, are killing the planet. And they have a goal of supremacy, and they have a goal of outright murder in many instances. Their history tells us that. And how are the rest of us supposed to handle this eventuality? Well, it's a difficult thing. But the fact is, if we don't do something robust in the face of this, we are going to all fall victim to their leadership's sicknesses, which is generally loss of freedom, murderous creation of conditions that are so inhumane in many instances. You just take a look at what's happened to Palestine. Take a look at what's happened to Iraq in their name. And you'll know that they don't have any compunctions or any problems with starving you, allowing you to live in sewer, ruining your water system, destroying your ability to even have electricity or a normal life. They terrorize you and make you live in fear. They round you up and kill you. They'll waterboard and torture you. And we need to start wrapping our efforts around the idea that the community itself needs to be forced to look at what others within their group have done. We have to force them. And if after that event they still do not want to respond, then they are becoming our enemies, clearly. And I think many people are already in that boat, as far as I'm concerned, many in the Jewish community, who are not decision makers, but they're turning a blind eye after seeing the facts, are now complicit in the crimes of their group. Yeah. And they, you know, the fact is that are the world's people that are being victimized by this group going to strike back? I can only hope that that's what we end up doing in some way. However, will we be justified in including people who knew but didn't speak out against it? That's a decision for us collectively to make. Now, for somebody to go out and say all Jews are behind this, they would be lying. They're not. But as I said, it's getting harder for the rank and file within the Jewish community to deny, unless they're delusional. You know, people who've been fed a diet of supremacy become sociopathic and delusional, or even psychopathic, a state of delusion about their environment, about their world that surrounds them. So it becomes impossible for them to make judgments about the environment they're in. And look at the Americans. Putting a man like John McCain in the Republican seat, how do I know that he's actually been elected into this? Well, I mean, there's tens of thousands of people showing up at some of his rallies, waving American flags and cheering this filthy Zionist dirtbag on. So, and they're not even Jewish, the people doing this. What responsibility do they bear for the implosion of our liberties? A lot. What retribution should we all take when we start taking a better, a firmer grip on what's happening in the world? Well, that's up for discussion as well. Are they Christian imbecile Zionists that have bought the Hagee word and or the Robertson word or the ex-Falwell nincompoop over there or the rest of these liars? I mean, are we going to give them a pass for not knowing? They're probably mentally ill. You know, I had a partner that is mentally ill. And I made excuses for his mental illness throughout the time I was with him. Now, you know, I don't know whether he was working for the Zionists or just plain sick in the head. But, you know, if you go to his website, he's claiming that my present webmaster came here and gave me a hypercolonic, which is the sickest thing anybody has even claimed about me. But this is how badly this man's thinking has gone awry here. Now, is that a mistake? Is he mentally ill? Is he in control of his faculties, still making these statements? What would we have to be wrong with somebody to make a statement like that? I don't know. Something wrong there. And of course, when I found out that I'd been played by somebody like him, I kind of lost my mind a little bit. You know, this is not a fun subject for most of us to have to deal with. And it's often safer in the short term for people to turn away from it completely. I got family members who act this way. They'd just rather turn away. Yeah, all right. Yeah. And in their rationale, in their refusal, is probably an inner voice saying, I'm not going to have to deal with this, or someone else will deal with it, or it'll go away, or it's not as bad as that, or all of these, you know, rationalizations, these self-justifying kind of statements where they can be exonerated from decision-making. And yet, they're not going to be. They're not going to be given a free pass when all of these problems fully come in bloom. And that's, like I said, a condition that's imminent. So, yeah, you know, I don't want to sit here and rant away about how bad things are. However, I must tell you that some of the good news out there is that based upon their reaction on television, they're flooding the airwaves with Auschwitz stuff and Anne Frank stuff, and there's two movies on main channels tonight about it. Now, there's no anniversary coming up right now. This is all about them panicking about the world waking up to their lies, the Zionist lies. And they own the airwaves, so they can put up any kind of broadcast they want about this stuff. And they're freaking out, and you can see it. You can smell the panic. The politicians are running around giving speeches about it and everything now because they're panicked. And what you need to do is show people the books that are on the website or download them into PDF for yourself, keep them on your website, and then turn them into hard copy and hand it to somebody. Give them the Archibald Maul Ramsey book. That will fry them. Put a CD out of Ben Friedman. Let him tell the story. Don't make it my rantings here because, you know, I can't, because I didn't have a first-person connection to this information and that I've gone back in archives and done research along with many, many others and presented it back to you doesn't give me the same level of gravitas or acceptance as a qualitative source as people like Ramsey, who comes from Sandhurst. Had connections in high society. And same thing with Nesta Webster, high society. And did her due diligence and got all of the quotes from the Zionist community itself to base her book. But Friedman was there during the crimes. Yeah, he was there with Morgenthau and Brandeis. He knows what Schiff did. He knows what the Loeb fortune was doing and the Brothman fortune was doing and how the Rothschilds were behind much of the money stuff and the Oppenheimers and the Honigs and the Goldsmiths. Yeah. He was there, and that makes his statements shaking. I mean, earth-shaking, powerful in ways that the Daryl Bradford Smith's presentations could not hold to that. And yet, it's part of a larger presentation that we make here, that I make here every broadcast, that there is supporting evidence in almost every area of the things that Friedman says. It's not just him saying it. It's not just Douglas Reed. It's not just Archibald Maul Ramsey. It's not just Arnold Leese. It's not just Ween. It's not just Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. It's dozens and dozens of people who've looked into these facts and find the same thing. Arthur Kessler, somebody from their own community again. Jack Bernstein, somebody else. It's not just people that are not credible. It's people from every walk of life coming at this issue from a different standpoint, but always coming back to the same conclusion. And that's why they're panicking, because people who look at this come to the same conclusions I did. Yeah. You can't help it. And of course, the message is done any due diligence. But they've, has it worked? Is the messenger in every way you can possibly think of? Has it worked? Well, to some level, yeah, to some degree, it has worked. I mean, there are people who refuse to spend any time listening to The French Connection because of the destruction of my character that they did during hundreds, if not thousands, of hit pieces. And I mean, the latest one with this ridiculous stuff from Hupschmidt and co. over there. But you see, does it change the fact that the information is valuable? It shouldn't for most people, but in some cases it does for them, sadly. For them. Because that's a little bit of the steam off the top of our generator or power base. You know, we need all of our power, all of our steam pressure to go out there and battle these people. We can't be losing some of our energy to leaks in our effort. And sadly, when someone denies my presentations because of nonsense that's been written out there, it really does hurt us a little bit. So I have to urge every one of you to take this as a moment of urgency that it's never been this bad. Today's the worst situation I've seen the world in since I've been started doing this. Worst one. And every subsequent day that passes, something else goes wrong and it gets a little worse than it was. How can I impress upon you that this is the state of affairs we're in and that we need your action? We need you to make CDs. We need you to go onto YouTube and download Prisoners in the Desert from James Ennis and myself. And the gentleman that did that, I forgot his name, but it was really a powerful piece. It's 270,000 downloads of that. But put it on a DVD if you need to. Put 9/11 Mysteries on a DVD with it. And open up with The Prisoner in the Desert and then do 9/11 Mysteries with it. Make your own DVD with images and use the files I've made. And punctuations and interviews and things that... that if you want to cut and paste certain qualitative interviews or positions that have been pronounced or information from the book that I might have narrated or something, please feel free. We need a multi-fronted, multi-faceted effort here with focus on defeating these people in the court of public opinion. I've always hoped we could avoid the bloodshed and violence that has always been associated with these kind of historic sicknesses that we've been visiting on the human race. They have been visiting on us forever. It always ends up badly for somebody, somewhere. And unfortunate as it may sound to all of you, I can't see how that's going to be any different this time. Now, our job is to win the battle for the truth and mitigate as best we can the amount of pain and injury that is going to cause innocent people. And it's a laudable goal, and it's an honest goal, and it's not a racist goal, and it's not a xenophobic goal, and I'm not trying to save the future for whites or blacks or Muslims or anybody, but for everyone of goodwill. For everyone of goodwill. Because that's the future that I want to see, is that goodwill and people of honest and good character, not people who are perfect, nobody is, not people who have walked this anal retentive straight line in life, that's not necessarily the kind of thing I'm discussing here, but the maliciousness by which the world has gone forward under these people's control has destroyed everything that was ever good in family, in society, in relationships. They've marginalized and divided us in so many ways that nobody trusts anybody to do anything qualitative or righteous in this planet anymore. Families are destroyed. They're promoting relationships of types that destroy family. And, of course, family is the building block of society. So, the perversions on my television set became so sickening for my wife and I, of course, and I never watched much television anyway. Just never did. And it never became something I did a lot of. And I still don't like it very much. I mean, of course, with 400 channels that we used to have, there was always something that you could sit there and stomach. But of late, it got so bad that even that is now not possible. And we have completely canceled the cable system. We don't want it anymore. I talked my wife into it because she began to see what I had always seen, that this was just a cesspit of mindless garbage. And not getting better, but worse. More sickness, more porn, more shows on how to put tattoos on, more, of course, hip-hop nonsense and sick, kill this and hurt that and destroy this, which is all run by Zionist Jewish business interests and promoted by the same. And it's right in the protocols, ladies and gentlemen, destroy the non-Jewish world's morality. Force them to feel hopeless and helpless. And that's exactly what many people do. They throw their hands up and say, there's nothing I can do. I can't stop this. Why should I try? Well, of course you can. Look. I mean, I started out this whole process by making a single phone call and giving my opinion on a radio show several years back, 4 years ago, and it turned into this. So, yes, one person can make a difference. And the learning curve to how to get through all this stuff is still growing for me. Still, I mean, and of course, having people sneak into my system and shut me down and do all this other stuff, these are unexpected problems that would have helped if I had a team around me to insulate me from them, but it didn't happen. I am the insulation, along with my present webmaster, and we and the people who help through information they send us and donations and whatnot. I mean, we're just as small as you can be. And we continue to help this book repository in Sweden as a nonprofit, because this is what we need to do to keep ourselves. This is not a profit organization here. We don't make money at this. This is just pay the bills and get the message out. Keep that in mind. Keep the facts in mind. Keep the fight going, ladies and gentlemen. We need more of you to help. We need more of you to take a proactive stand on all of these information and win this battle. We need people from the Jewish community to turn on their criminal oppressors from the top. Tell on them. Turn around and become part of the solution and stop being part of the problem. And unless and until that happens, the pressure on all Jewish people to take the blame for this is going to mount, and that this is something that could be avoided, can be avoided, if we are able to get enough people from your own community to see the sickness that's involved in the leadership of World Zionism and how they have profited as parasites from everybody in the world, and will continue to do that. I hope this has been a decent rant for you. We have more guests coming up, more ideas to be sharing with you, and more things to say. There's always more to say. There's always more encouragement to give. There's always more information and more facts that are coming to light that we can share with you here on The French Connection. And it's my responsibility to try and help as best I can, and yours to try and share this information as far and wide as you can make it go. So until the next time, ladies and gentlemen, please take care of your families. And be well. Bye-bye now.